Shalom. We're in the middle of Piska Kav Zayin in Ayah, and we were talking about Rav Kook's commentary on the Gemara on Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kav Gimel, 23, where the Gemara mentions that there are four benefits to the mitzvah of the Torah of not just leaving a certain percentage to the poor people, but that you have to leave a corner of your field to the poor people. The Gemara mentioned four benefits, and last time we spoke about two and a half of them. We spoke about a gezel aniyim, right? The Gemara explains that the reason why the Torah obligates us to leave it in a corner is to make sure that that a person doesn't make a knunya, doesn't make a coalition, a deal with his friend, the poor person, and that only his friend can get it, right? That he won't tell anybody where it is. By the fact that it's in the corner, it's fair also to the other poor people. And Rav Kook says that idea of gezel aniyim, that you have to be fair, that you can't steal from the poor people, that shows the first aspect of tzedakah, that it's mishpat. It is a law. It's an obligation. It's not charity. You're not doing them a favor. You owe it to them. And if you don't give it to them fairly, you're stealing from them. The second point was the idea of bitul ha'aniyim. The second reason why you have to leave it in a corner of the field is so that the aniyim shouldn't waste time just waiting and waiting until you... Mituv libcha, do them a favor, as if it were, and let them know where they can take from, because the idea is that people have a tendency to scorn or to deride poor people. You know, he's not intelligent enough to get a job or to go to college or to support himself. And Rav Kook says that is the idea that. You have to, in addition to the fact that tzedakah is justice, it's an obligation, that was the first point, but the flip side of the coin is that you also have to put yourself in the shoes of the poor person, see it from his point of view, and this is the idea of nedivut, of that you're voluntarily, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just tell you what you have to do, but you also have to feel altruistic about it, to try and feel how the poor person feels about it.
Four corners.
Okay, that's your chidush. Let's stick to Rav Kook. And the third point, that which we saw towards the end of the shiur last week, is the third point of Mishum Achshad. That the Gemara says that you have to leave a davka, a corner of the field, so that people shouldn't think that you're not leaving a corner. And here, Rav Kook deals with the issue of what will people think. And our first reaction is that that's a very lowly aspect, and it's not for idealistic, altruistic people. And what we saw last week is that the beauty of the Torah is that it's very realistic. And mitoch shelo lishma balishma, there are many people that out of the kavod, out of the honor that they'll get by having a building named after them, they will give that much more. Or out of worried what the other people are going to say. A friend once told me that that's a really large percentage of tzedakah today. Maybe it's you've come across this. That what they do is they have dinners or yearbooks. Or usually at the dinner they have a book. What's it called? A dinner book. And all the friends of you choose one millionaire, usually a millionaire, or somebody who has a lot of wealthy friends, and you honor him. And then you turn to all of his friends, or you have him turn to his friends, and put them in a position that it's lo na'im, it's unpleasant if they don't give, take out an ad in the journal. That's what they call it, a journal, a full-page ad. And if I give you a platinum page, you have to give me a platinum page. I have to have a gold page, I have a gold page. And a friend of mine told me that it's just Lonai, people can't stand it anymore because this has been going on for 30, 40 years. And, you know, they have to come up with a new idea, but it's all based on guilt. And lichora, this idea of giving out of guilt, sounds like something cheap and not very good. Rav Kook says, if God created man with that power of feeling guilty or of worrying what people are going to say, then that means that there must be a time and a place where that power is beneficial. And tzedakah is a good example, where the bottom line is, the more you give, the better, whether it comes out of A or B or C. Right? If a person is going to give more because he's an altruist and he wants to give it without people knowing, if that's the way that you'll give the most, fantastic. But if the way that you'll give more is with the kavod, or if the way that you'll give more is out of embarrassment to what the other people's going to say, whatever's going to get you to be a good person, use it to your advantage. And this is a very, very interesting idea. Bichlal, in education, or whenever teaching Musar, don't scorn God. When God created the world with a lot of different directions that all can bring us to a higher level, then all of them are necessary for some of the people some of the time. And that's where we left off last time. Do you want to say something? Okay. Alken, we're on page 75, 2, 4, 6, 8, in the 8th line. Alken, im ha-shmira shel ele shtei ha-reshimot shel hakarat koach ha-mishpat v'hakarat koach ha-nedivut gam yachad. If the power of these two seemingly contradicting ideas, of the idea, I don't think we mentioned last week, but if you notice, we're talking about chesed and gvura. In Kabbalah, the right hand is chesed, to give out of altruistically. And that's the second point that we meant. And the left hand is mishpat, right? Din as opposed to rachamim. I heard a beautiful vort that I can bring a little geula to the world. A friend of mine, Rav Ari Khan, he had a nice idea that usually when you see a person and you see his tefillin, the idea of tefillin is used to wear it all the time, the right strap is longer than the left strap of the shel rosh, on the head tefillin. And anybody who knows anything about Kabbalah knows that's just like with anything, chesed, the right, is supposed to be stronger than the left. Okay, stronger than gvura. You need gvura, you need midat adin, you need that the godly justice, but the more of a stress should be on the chesed. On the other hand, where do they meet? They meet in the kesher shel tefillin. The kesher shel tefillin is something which is hidden. Because usually you see chesed as opposed to gvura, or rachamim as opposed to din, but you don't see how they're connected together. The chidush of kesher tefillin hera'a le'anav, that Chazal tell us in the Midrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, showed him the knot of the tefillin. The meaning is that he showed them how the two opposing ideas really harmonize together. That even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does din, right, you showed him the back, the kesher in the back. Right. The idea that even what seems for you to be contradicting, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't contradict. And the example is Avat Hashem and Yirat Hashem, where the Netziv says on the Sifrei says that only by God can you have Ahava and Yira, love and awe. And the Netziv asks, what are you talking about? There's a mitzvah de'oraita of Yira to have be in awe of your parents. And there's a mitzvah d'oraita to honor your parents. And Chazal stressed that honoring, right? They say that by Yira, it says, Ish imo v'aviv tirao, it puts the mother first, because there's a tendency not to be in awe. By the kabed, where it's talking about love, there's a tendency to love the mother more than the father, so it's the father first. In other words, kavod and love work together. They go together. So if so, what does the Sifri mean? that you can have Ava and Yerev together. That it's something unique by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see it by parents also. And he answers very beautifully that Ava and Yira you can have for your parents, but not from the same thing. There are sometimes if your parents buy you a bicycle, so you have the kavod. You'll give them honor in exchange. Sometimes if they threaten to punish you or something like that, so you have the yirah. But it's not coming from the same place. Right? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't mention the Rambam, but I imagine he takes for granted that you know the Rambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, Bet. It's easy to remember. That or the Rambam says that the way to Avat Hashem and Yirat Hashem is to go out into nature and see the beautiful mountains and the heavens and His creation. And that is going to get you also to love God for giving us this great world and also to be in awe of this awesome Creator. And the point is that the very same thing can bring both. And that's the idea of the Kesher Shel Tefillin, which it's usually hidden. But it really does combine the justice and the, should be on this side, the, well, for the people at home, it's the opposite, the idea of nidivut, of altruism, and the idea of justice. Okay, it's a beautiful idea. And that's what's called the tiferet, which is merges, harmonizes the two.
And the tefillin shel yad, dafka goes on the weaker hand to strengthen the gvura. Everything go balanced.
Yeah. Okay. Again, so we was say afal pishem kimitnagdim zelaze. Even though it seems at first glance that the idea of altruism and the idea of justice that you have to do it and no God isn't asking us, they seem to contradict. Mikomat komitkashrim hem. This is the idea of the kesher of the tefillin. They are tied together b'shichlul koach hatzdakah. Tzedakah does both of them for us. Aval mitoch sheim ponim rak benefesh ha'adam ha'nediva pnima. But being that it's talking about, it turns towards the nefesh of the giving person inside, yuchlul ligrum chalishut argasha chitzunabo. This can weaken his external giving. Rav Kook here is referring to also whether it be out of justice that you're forcing yourself internally, it's fixing up my soul, or whether it's fixing up the altruistic aspect of me getting into his kishkas, seeing it from his point of view, and giving it altruistically. But there's too much stress here on the individual, the either me or him. And as Rav Kook, who stresses very often the idea of nationalism in Klal Yisrael and Knesset Yisrael, says you also have to take into account the benefit of the community. Al ken, tzarech gam ken imahem shmira al atzrachat haroshem shel regesh hakavod veabusha hachevrutit. We do take into account the social, the chivra. What are they going to say? Are they going to give me honor for it? Is that good? Is it not good? But that is a third part of life. In addition to me, in addition to you, there is also us. Okay? Ulishachlel ita kara pnimit. And the idea is to perfect, to improve our inner understanding. Ech shemidat atzdakai midam mishpatit. Yo'il ha'regesh ech shekol bnei adam po'alim echar al chavero, bein letov, bein lehofcho. We are part of a society, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. Positive peer pressure is something very good. Negative peer pressure is something very bad. It's interesting, anybody who works with youth and education usually deal with peer pressure as a negative thing.
Because it is there.
In other words, the masses are problematic, and if everyone's going to jump off of the roof, that doesn't mean that you have to jump off the roof, right? Don't give in to peer pressure. Rav Kook is saying God doesn't make mistakes. And positive peer pressure is something very positive. You remember we mentioned this in the first parak of Vinaya, where the Gemara refers to Lot, where Lot went to the city of Halomitz-Arhi, right? Tsoar. And the Torah says, why? Because it's a little younger. It's a couple years younger than the older city of Sodom ve'Amoram. And Rav Kook explained, this is important for those living in small yeshuvim, there's a big advantage of new yeshuvim. That a person should choose to live in a place where there's positive peer pressure. Right? Because everybody has ups and downs spiritually. But if the norm is for everyone in your where you live to go daven b'tzibur, then you feel wrong if you're the only guy who's staying in bed and not waking up. And whether somebody says something to you or not, there is that idea of the peer pressure. We also saw this in Ein Ayah, in I think it was Daf Yud, where Rav Kook, on the Gemara says that whoever gives his friend a gift has to tell him about it. And lichora, this contradicts. I would think this contradicts the Rambam, who says that the higher form of tzedakah is to give to somebody without the poor person knowing who gave it. So why does the Gemara say that there's a higher, there's an advantage? And it even goes so far as to say that if somebody who gives a gift to a child, he should smear a little, like if you give him chocolate, smear a little chocolate on his face so that his mother will ask him, where did you get the chocolate? And he will tell her, I got it from Mr. Cohen. And that's something good.
That's not a problem.
Why? Rav Kook is explaining that you are part of society. And society, we have to take into account not just that I want to be altruistic and I want to be a hidden tzaddik, which is good for my neshama, but who says that I have a right to do it on the account of the midot of the other guy, especially if he's a child? Because you have to make sure, you have to enable people to do hakarat hatov, right? You have to enable them to say thank you. You have to enable the child to have his mother teach him to say thank you. You have to enable the person who receives the gift to say thank you. That a person is part of a society, and that even for me personally, it might be a higher level to give tzedakah anonymously. That's what Rav Kook is saying here. You're part of a chevra, and you have to worry, you have to make sure that other people are going to benefit from the giving. What's the context that he's saying here? Like we started saying last week, within a chevra, within a city, inevitably, as the Balatanya says, tzibur is made up of tzadikim, benonim, urishaim, righteous people, evil people, and middle people. In other words, statistically, the bell curve, right? There's always, in every group, there's always more of this, more of that, most of the people in the middle. Inevitably, there's always going to be a significant, probably the majority part of the city, of the chevra, of the state, that needs that impetus of busha and kavod. And therefore, even if you have passed that level, you have no right to put it down because the guy sitting next to you needs it. As a matter of fact, almost everyone around you needs it, even if theoretically you have risen to a higher level. Alken, kishem she'im yesh eze davar shiuchal ligrom takala, gam be'eze chelek namuch shebezderot ha'enoshiyut, mikom akom yaspik ta'am ze lehulid chuvah klalit al kol ha'chevra lishtamer mi'oto inyan shiuchal lehulid tolada ra'a shebezdera yiduwa v'shfela. ולא יוכלו בני המעלה לומר, איזה דרך תעבור החובה עד גבולנו. Right, I don't need that גזירה, שנוזדו מזה מצד השמירה הראויה לאנשים שפלים ממנו, הרבה במעמד המוסרי. Right, you have no right to say that we don't need to put names of בעלי צדקה on buildings. Right, you do need it. And don't put down powers, drives, that God created. even if you personally might not need it,
most
you're part of a group.
Most people who think they need it and say they need it usually are overestimating themselves.
That's also true. Ki lo chenu, this is not true. Ki achdut ha'organit po'elet ma'od b'chlal ha'adam. The idea of man being part of a, being connected, right? Like the mashal that Am Yisrael is like one organism. Vehim po'alim u'mitpa'alim zeh mizeh. We influence each other. V'ra'a v'nefila ha'musarit she'tivaled be'ezeh chelek namuch sheba'adam al yedei amon mesibot tashuv lif'ol lahara gam ken al ha'chelek ha'yoter me'ula u'meshubach she'nivdal mimenu madregot rabot l'shevach v'ma'ala. Not only that, says Rav Kook, if you're part of a chevra, and say even theoretically you have risen above a certain need, who says you're going to stay there forever? Right? There's no, we see stories in the Gemara of even great Tanaim, great rabbis, who left religion, left Torah, even after being great sages for many, many years. Right? They lost it all. So you might also be influenced by them for bad. So we have to make sure that you are influencing them for the good. Make sure that the society is going to be able to bring up everyone, because in the end, you're going to need it as well. Ad she'oto atam anitzrach mipnei ramain v'shiflei nefesh. And here Rav Kook is starting to deal with the fourth point. That is why, does the Gemara say, why the fourth reason that the Torah tells us to leave the peyah on the corner because of the ramaim. Remember how it starts? The Gemara starts out and saying, because of bal tichaleh, because of the prohibition of reaping your whole field. The Gemara says, but all of them are because of bal tichaleh. And the Gemara answers, what it means is because of the ramaim, because those people who, the trickers, right? They'll pretend, I gave here, I gave there, I gave at the office, and they didn't really give. And here Rav Kook is beautifully explaining what is the idea of that all of the previous three reasons are connected with the because of the Ramaim? Because it does make a difference who you are. Whether you see tzedakah as mishpat, as justice, whether you see it as altruism, whether you see it as a communal need, you also need tzedakah. You need that as part of your personality, because even if a person, in other words, we're not talking chronologically, that a person builds himself more and more and more until he reaches a certain level. What Rav Kook is saying is that even after you reach a certain level, you can slide back down. And that's why you have to make sure that your society, even tzaddikim, can also be ramaim, right? And that ramaut is something that is connected with all of the different people and all of the different reasons that we mentioned before.
People want to show the best side of themselves.
Yeah, people want to show the best side of themselves. Maspiku gam ken litchaber im ha'ta'amim shebehem yuchlulu ramei ha'ma'ala ugdolei ha'nefesh. After we understand the idea that the collective, the national, also is significant, here we begin to understand, here Rav Kook is beginning shifting gears to a new topic. Why lo yechdal avil mikarev ha'aretz? Why there have to always, inevitably, even in Yimot HaMashiach, there are going to be poor people? Because we need it for me, for him, for us, and for them. For each and every possible group.
Rav Kook, going over what we mentioned last week about the need for the Aniyim, was, did you bring
yeah.
it in because...
I brought it in because here that was a promo for what he's saying here. Here Rav Kook is giving a beautiful and ingenious point. Another reason most people don't even think about why we need poor people, in addition to the idea of giving and altruism and everything that we said till now, is that poverty brings a person to good midot, brings a person to simplicity, to humility. It takes you down from your arrogance. Okay? Was anybody in the shiur that I gave on Yom Rishon by Dani Harsh Hoshanim? In memory of Dani Harsh Hoshanim? No. Because I mentioned there the Gemara in Masechet Yevamot, Daf Samach Gimel, talks exactly about this. Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat says four statements about agriculture. That's why I spoke about it, because it was Tu B'Shvat.
Well, time four, four corners.
There are four statements. Number one, he says that a man, actually he says something first that has nothing to do with agriculture. He says, a man who's not married is not a man. That's a famous, you see that on wedding invitations. Why do I mention that? Because it's the same Rabbi Elazar who says right afterwards that a man who doesn't have land, who doesn't work the fields, he's not a man. And the first statement, that a person who's not married is missing out something important in life, that everybody knows. But also the fact that somebody who is not working the land, that he's also missing out, that's a chidush. Then goes on Rabbi Elazar, and he says that atidin in yemot ha-mashiach is that in the days of the Mashiach, all of the balei umanuyot, all of the people, will leave their trades and become agriculturalists. So he says that's part of the is part of the idea. And then he surprises us. And he says, "En lecha umanut pchuta min hakarka." There is no more lowly trade than working the land. And then it tells the story of Rabbi Elazar, who sees somebody who's plowing the field, and he plows it in the wrong direction. He plows it to the width rather than to length. And he tells him, even if you would know how to work the field properly, you should switch to a different field. And Rashi explains, because farmers don't make money. So lichora, we have two ma'amarim of Rabbi Elazar in favor of agriculture, and then two statements against agriculture. And it seems that he's contradicting himself. But what I did is we went through 10 different gemarot in different places, which we won't go through now. But today everybody can find it at their fingertips. Rabbi Elazar was very poor, and by him it was an ideology. And that's why he davka, that's one of the things that he likes about farming. Why he says that even in Yemot HaMashiach, in the ideal world, people are going to be farmers. Why? What about the third ma'amar? When he says that there's no field more lowly, no profession more lowly than agriculture.
Good.
For Rabbi Elazar, he means that's something good. He's not contradicting himself.
It's humbling.
And exactly, you know, it humbles a person. When you get down and dirty and you... And also the fourth thing. When Rashi explains that he tells this guy, who says, even if you would know how to work the field, you should switch to another profession, Rashi adds, to make more money. Rabbi Elazar says, who says it's good to make money?
And the chidush... means that the goyim will come and do all the high tech, so the Jews can do mitzvot to pull your baris.
All right. The idea is that people who are wealthy, and the Chovot al Vavot says that a person should daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't make him rich and won't make him poor. Now the fact that people don't like to be poor, that's pshita. But the chiddush, especially for us growing up in the Western world, that it's not good to be rich. The Ein Yaakov explains there exactly what Rav Kook is saying here. That one of the benefits of working in farming, it doesn't mean that you have to work all day in farming, but even to work out in the field, in your backyard. I have 18 trees around the house. To get dirty. To get to do an honest day's labor. And then what Rav Kook is saying is that one of the advantages of having poor people in a society is that they add that humility to society. And that we all gain from. To put down arrogance. Now he adds immediately, parenthetically, אף על פי שלפעמים בעצם נפשו של העני לא יתגלו בתור מידות טובות, מפני כמה סיבות אחרות שאני מנבלתן. Even though very often poor people get ruined by their poverty, and poverty brings them to bad midot, that they're always worried about their next meal, they're always thinking about money because they don't have it, Rav Kook says that is a problem. Nevertheless, there is the benefit of, that's because of side issues of lowliness. But the advantages of having lowliness as part of society, humility, is an advantage. אבל אותה תמצית הכללית של אותן המידות, כיוון שהן נמצאות במין האנושי, once that we have these humble people living among us, האדם גם בלא דעת ובלא רצון הוא נפעל מחבריו. Whether a person likes it or not, we're all influenced by our surroundings. And those humble people, those poor people, who are dependent on God, then Yaakov, their stresses, they also have a lot of emunah, they have a lot of bitachon. That influences also the wealthy people and the middle class people. Even though he might be very removed from them, it's part of society. This is one of the reasons why there is poverty in the world. Not just like we spoke about last time, about that it's important to give and it forces us to give and it gives us an obligation to give and to be altruistic. But also the idea that in the chevra, we have to learn from the poor people also certain midot. This is just another one of the many reasons why we need tzedakah. Don't look at tzedakah as something bidiyeved. Oh, it's chaval that there are poor people. It's terrible there are poor people in the world. Yeah, take care of them, but don't complain to God that He should have created the world differently. This brings mankind in general to a higher level. Al ken, mitkamtzim bepeya shimvaeret harbe michiyuv hamishpati shebetzedakah. We have a lot of, to summarize, we have a lot of different ideals within the mitzvah of Peah. Remember the four different ideals, if I could summarize. There is the, what I get out of it, right, the obligation to give. What you get out of it, putting myself into your shoes, the altruistic aspect. There is the idea of they, what society gains from it. And there is the idea, what we gain from it. We means all people have danger of being rama'im, of being tricking, of cheating on their tzedakah. And this is different regarding why Peah is different from other tzedakot. We mentioned this last week. Why regarding most tzedakah, you have to give 10% tzedakah. But you decide what to give, to who to give. On the other hand, there are certain mitzvot where God tells you what to do, right? Obligates. Here, there's a shutafut. That on the one hand, God tells you that you have to give, and even tells you that you have to give from a corner. But the chidush is that you choose what corner to give.